be talking about the policy implications of domestic violence survivors' needs over time. So the background to this study is that few studies examine the long-term issues of survivors of domestic violence. There are many studies that examine short-term outcomes for survivors who've just left a violent situation or for people who have gone into shelter and then recently left the shelter. So there's a lot of studies looking at those short-term outcomes, but there isn't a lot of research done on the more long-term outcomes once survivors have begun to live in the community again and are reestablishing their lives. Another part of the background to this study is that many interventions, domestic violence intervention programs, focus on individual interventions and don't address more community-level factors. The individual interventions are successful in many ways, but survivors of domestic violence continue to experience some serious negative outcomes that impact their health that the individual interventions are not addressing. So the purpose of this study was to assess the constellation of factors that predict negative long-term outcomes for victims of domestic violence. Okay. We are examining four outcomes in this study, and they are whether the respondents are earning enough to support their family, whether they're having difficulty finding suitable housing, whether they've ever been homeless due to domestic violence, and whether they're having difficulty accessing health care. And we chose these specific outcomes because we feel that they're important community-level factors that impact the long-term health and stability of survivors of domestic violence. And we know that we've been looking at it through an ecological context where social determinants of health are very important as indirect impacts on health outcomes and stability outcomes. The sample for this study are clients who have completed a community-based domestic violence intervention program between 2001 and 2007. And the program provides a combination of legal and social services in a coordinated manner to individuals who've left a violent situation. The goal of the program is to prevent returns to abusive situations through increasing the knowledge and the access to resources that these survivors have, and so that they're able to stabilize their lives and not go back to the violence. And it uses a holistic model in combining the legal and social services in order to reduce service fragmentation. The data for this study, the program is evaluated using a pre-test and post-test design to assess change in outcomes over the course of the program. So the data for this study comes from the post-test for the clients who've completed this program. And the program primarily serves victims who are poor, so they are either at or below 125% of the federal poverty level. The demographics, there were 205 clients who completed the program, overwhelmingly female, about 70% white, 25% black, 36% Hispanic. The age range was 18 to 58 years and an average age of about 33 years. And upon entrance to the program, the individuals had been away from the abusive situation for an average of 14 months, which ranged from a month to several years. But this is important because even coming into the program, they had already been away from the violent situation for about 14 months, and then we're now looking at outcomes once they had finished the program, which can range from 7 months to a couple years. So we're definitely looking at the longer-term outcomes of these women, primarily women who are living in the community, and what their needs are. The methods for this study, we first did a bivariate analysis of associations between the major categories of predictors and each of those four outcomes that I described before. So the major categories were financial, transportation, health, social support, and demographic information. And those all came from the post-test that the clients completed. And in the interest of time, and I'm gonna focus the presentation on the logistic regression of predicting those four outcomes rather than going through the associations, because there were a lot of them. But as they're relevant to the presentation, I will mention them in the course of the findings. So the first outcome that I looked at was earning enough to support the family. And there's just a note on all of these four slides about the outcomes. The only predictors that are listed there in this left-hand column are the ones that were significant in the model. There were several other factors that were associated, but very difficult to read the slides with all that on there, so I took them out. So an earning enough to support their family. Here in this third column, you can see the odds ratios, and clients who were satisfied with their jobs were 15 times more likely to be earning enough to support their families, which is a very large finding. And this may be due to the fact that job satisfaction is related to perhaps having a higher paying job that more easily allows for adequate family support. And in this third column, you can see that clients with private health insurance were 3 times more likely to be earning enough to support their family. So that might also be related to jobs that provide enough income and benefits to be able to support their family. Here in this second column, earning or having difficulty finding suitable housing, people who earned enough to support their family were less likely to have difficulty finding suitable housing. And it's interesting here that even though it was associated in the bivariate associations, that receiving any kind of financial assistance, such as child support or food stamps, was not predictive of earning enough to support their family. The next slide is difficulty finding suitable housing. And these first two, limited income and credit problems, are perceived housing barriers. So we asked a list of questions of the clients about what they perceive to be a significant housing barrier. And this is important because we also asked a question specifically about them having credit and financial problems, and that was not associated with finding suitable housing. But their perception of limited income and of having credit problems was highly predictive and associated with difficulty finding suitable housing. And supporting this statement on the third line here, that earning enough to support their family, those who were earning enough had much less difficulty finding housing. The next result is homelessness. This is homelessness due to domestic violence over the course of their lifetime. And job satisfaction was a very protective factor. About 90%. People who were satisfied with their job were 90% less likely to be homeless. And that might be because respondents who are more satisfied with their job were likely to earn more money or have a more stable source of income and a job, and thus less likely to have to move around and become homeless. And the other finding here is that clients who were worried that their abuser would contact them were 4 times more likely to be homeless. And that might be because they may be so worried about the contact by their abuser that they keep moving around and they don't want to stay in one place or establish a permanent residence for fear of being contacted. And the last outcome here is the difficulty accessing healthcare, transportation. Clients with transportation difficulty were 5 times more likely to have difficulty accessing healthcare. And that may be because they don't have a reliable physical means, like a car, to get to their appointments, or it might represent a connection to a larger financial issue in that way. You know, they don't have enough money for a car, so they don't have health insurance. Those things may be all interrelated, and it's difficult to tell that here. And under health insurance, you can see that Medicaid and private insurance, having Medicaid or private insurance were those people who had them were much more likely to be able to access health care. So in the analysis of these findings, there were some patterns in the analysis of the results. And the first thing that I saw were financial factors. And these are factors that are associated with employment, such as job satisfaction and earning enough to support their family. And the interesting thing here is that direct measures of employment, such as being employed and being employed full-time, were both questions that we asked, but they weren't associated or predictive in these models at looking at these outcomes. So rather, these less direct and broader measures of earning enough and job satisfaction were the things that were associated. And also the perception of financial barriers was very important. And as I said before, while actually having credit and financial problems was not associated, the perception of financial barriers to getting housing was something that was very, very strongly predictive. And it may indicate the importance of how people view their situation and its relationship to the success or negative outcomes that they experience. Transportation is an important factor. It represents a community-level barrier or a variable. And in this program, about 75% of the clients reported having a car at the end of the program. So it's three-quarters of the clients did have transportation, yet transportation was still important. And that may represent, again, financial barriers such as gas or repair or lack of public transportation system in Tampa, where this is. There is really no public transportation. The health insurance, as I mentioned earlier, there were similar results for Medicaid and for private insurance. And this is important because two-thirds of this population only has either health insurance, either private insurance or Medicaid. And it's also interesting to see that even though clients who reported health problems, such as physical health problems or depression, that was associated with these outcomes, but it wasn't predictive. So those individual-level health variables were less predictive than the community-level, more structural factors, such as health insurance. An additional finding, as I mentioned earlier, is the importance of the respondents' worry about being contacted by the abuser. And even though in this program they were assigned a client advocate who was able to help them, they were still they still had concern that the abuser might find them. So that's, again, another community importance. And one of the limitations to this study is that there are significant relationships between the variables. The lives of these people are very complex, and it's difficult to tease apart the relationships, especially how finances impact all these other areas of their lives. So that may be part of the reason why individual-level interventions are not wholly successful in eliminating all negative outcomes, but it also indicates the need for broader policy, which is what I'm going to talk about now. So we do need a shift to more social justice-based policies, and by that I mean factors that represent community investment in social capital. We need broader policies to address the community-level factors that I discussed, and a recognition that while individual-focused interventions are helpful and successful in many areas, it cannot eradicate all the negative outcomes associated with being a long-term survivor of domestic violence, especially for poor women. So we're talking about the difference between being able to get a car versus needing a transportation system, or being able to get an apartment versus a broader housing policy in the community that will support these people. And the complex relationship between the variables indicates a need for additional attention to collaborative community efforts. All of these problems are not individual. They cross areas, and so it's important that the community comes together for a more collaborative effort to address them. And that's it. Thank you.
We have time for a question.
The majority of the clients in this program are single mothers, but we did look at social support variables, and in particular having social support, being able to turn to friends or family for help, and also knowing where to access help. And those variables were all associated with the different outcomes, but when we put them in the predictive models, none of them came out. So it really was more the structural things that were predictive.
Women in a higher socioeconomic status would respond differently or maybe
I'm not really sure. I would assume that some of them were, I actually don't know, because leaving a violent situation, if they're leaving without any resources, no matter what their situation was like before, they could still experience a lot of these problems if they don't take anything with them, if they're leaving and then trying to reestablish themselves over time.